This week on The Young and the Racist, I mean Restless.
Phyllis has Harmony working overtime.
Harmony, Harmony, I need your help.
I don't know nothing about birthing no babies, Miss Phyllis.
And a mystery man from Harmony's past shows up in Genoa City.
Oh, no. Shellac Boo Boo Washington Jones.
Look, I want my money, Angie. I mean, Harmony, I mean, ho.
All this week on the PVP.
Damn, that ain't gonna work. Okay, let's try this. I hate you, Brian Franz. I hate you. All right, let's try this. I ain't getting my hopes up for you either. That shit's gonna be gone by September. I hate you, Katie Couric. Fuck it. We gonna play our own music. Welcome to the PVP. What's left of daytime, some prime time, and a little dose of reality. We gonna talk about that shit because we feel like it.
Welcome to the PVP. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Mr. Jordan Hudson.
And this is the PVP for the week ending, sort of ending, February 22nd, but not really 2012.
It's the end of Black History Month.
Is it the end this of is, Black yeah, History
this,
Month?
This is the last week
How
of Black History Month.
How fitting that YNR is introducing two...
Well, no one. Debbie's been on the show for a while now.
Well, okay, so another.
They're introducing another black
African American character of substance, of depth, and quality,
and stereotypes,
and
angry black man, angry black man.
What is her? I have not watched Young and the Restless.
Oh, girl, you've been missing. We haven't had a podcast since the controversy hit the fan.
What happened?
Oh, do you know? You don't know?
I know a little bit. Shadow's been posting.
For those
about
of you
it.
Who don't know. I mean, it may seem like it's late in the game, but it really isn't because this is our topic. Talking about Young and the Restless, we're going to start off with about how Young and the Restless may be the number one soap opera, but when it comes to writing characters of color, they really are very limited in their vision. And the controversy started because, you know that when it happened, people were going to speak out. Nobody speaks out like Mr. Jamie Giddens at Daytime Confidential. And Jamie had an earful about the situation. Now, me being Jordan Hudson, I wanted to check it out and see what all the fuss was about.
Because you don't watch Young and the Restless.
No, I don't, girl. I tried for my Jeannie Francis, and it just was so unbearable. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, that head writer, Tina Maria Arena Bell, she's, like, all over the place. I mean, her stories are whack job storylines, and her characters have the worst dialogue. They sound like 10-year-olds in a playground.
She does Days, right?
No, she does Young and the Restless. That's Tina Maria Arena Bell. Oh. So, anyway,
No, I know. I didn't know she did another. What are the other shows she does, though?
No, that's it.
That's it?
The Young and the Restless. Right. She's married to one of the Bells. That's how she got the job.
She's married
to William Bell. William Bell's the creator, and he's dead.
Every time you talk about the Bells, I think about Belle Biv DeVoe.
Oh.
I don't know why.
It is Black History Month.
The music group, Belle Biv DeVoe.
I used to love them.
Anyway, I digress.
So anyway, the controversy was that Debbie Morgan's character, Harmony, who already, I cannot believe that Miss Debbie Morgan accepted this role. Her character's like an ex-crack addict. And she's the mother of that boy, Devin, that they adopted many years ago, Drusilla and what's his name. Mm-hmm. And so she comes to town with, like, no makeup, speaking, like, something right out of, like...
I bet you her hair's all nappy, right?
She don't have those fancy Angie weaves anymore. No, so she has, like, no makeup. At times, she sounds very uneducated. You know who she sounds like? She sounds like her character that she used to play on What's Happening. Remember when she was Dwayne Wayne's girlfriend on What's Happening? That's what she sounds like.
That character even sounds classy,
though. Even her character on Roots sounds more classy than this Harmony character. So anyway, so she was talking to this young guy who is, believe it or not, supposed to be Spanish, but I don't think he's Spanish at all. In the show, his character is supposed to be half Latin, half white.
It's very hard to find Spanish actors.
I know. I mean, it's so hard. So many. Especially now that One Night to Live is gone.
Oh, they're just nowhere to be
found. There's just nowhere to be found. Anyway, so she's talking to him, and he's asking for a job where she works. So she goes, well, you need to talk to Miss Phyllis. And that's what started the uproar. And Jane, I understood why some people were like, oh, you're blowing up. But I have to agree.
Wait a minute. The character is Miss Phyllis, or her name is Phyllis, and someone called her
Harmony
Miss
was. Then the guy asked Harmony about getting a job at the magazine. She goes, you need to talk to Miss Phyllis.
She called her.
So, yeah, instead of saying Miss, Miss, whatever Phyllis's last name is, Mrs. whatever. You know, she goes, Miss Phyllis, now look. I have to say, I understand why Jamie was upset. And I have to agree with him to an extent of why he was upset. Because Young and the Restless does not have a history of really writing very positive characters of color. Their characters are... Right now, the only Latin they have on the show is, I think, the Newman's maid. And she's on, like once every month. And then her gay nephew, who's on, like, every other month. And then the black people they have on the show, I mean, like, Drusilla was illiterate when she came on the show.
I don't know any and of the then characters,
the other con, the other character's name was Kong, and he was illiterate. That's two black characters that came on that didn't know how to read in their history. Like, they don't have a good track record, you know, when it comes to writing characters of color.
So Rob here you have Roddy would vomit. He would exactly. vomit up a lung.
Here you have an actress of Debbie Morgan's caliber. And you got her... And see, the thing is, some people were like, oh, but that is... And you're right. It is common in the African-American community. And also, we Latins do it too. So we go, doña. But when you're referring to somebody like that, it's usually you're referring to somebody who's older than you. Not somebody who's younger than you or your boss. That's like the lady that's around, like on 227, you go, Miss Mary. Miss Mary Jenkins, tradition. You go, Miss Mary. That's what you say. Or Doña, referring to you, I go, Doña Ashley, because you're older than me.
There's a tradition.
That went over her head.
It did not. Okay. I'm feeling gracious.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's racist. Call a spade a spade. There's a tradition in the South of calling the hired help Miss First Name, Miss First Name, Miss First Name. So that's bullshit. That's racist. It's racist.
I thought it was inappropriate in the context. Seeing the scene.
No one's making an issue of it, right? YNR. It's just plain stupid. It's not stupid.
It's ignorant. It's ignorant, dumb.
Stupid in this day and age.
And I'm surprised that Miss Debbie did it.
Yeah, no kidding. Look,
I guess she needs the money, but I don't know why she accepted the role. It's horrible.
Actors act. What did Sandra Bullock say when she talked about James Franco at the Academy Awards playing Franco on General Hospital? She said, hey, actors act. That's what she said. It's true.
When is James Franco acting on General Hospital?
He used to act on General Hospital.
When you call that acting?
Oh, but I'm Bob.
Seriously, no, I don't call that acting. I don't call what Sandra Bullock does acting either. I don't like her.
Don't be mean.
I don't like her. I think she's boring.
No way.
Notice that she took us a beat and she goes, no, she's gotten better, so you do admit that she's overrated.
No. In the past, I don't think she was a deep actress, but I think she's matured, and I think she's had some really nice roles, and I loved her in that movie. There's a lot of these movie actors
that I don't understand how they keep getting work.
Oh, come on. She takes off the makeup. She goes there. I like her.
I don't like her. She's boring. Anyway, so
just
so
because
then,
she's not Dame Maggie Smith.
Nobody's beats Miss Dame Maggie Smith. It is all about Miss Dame Maggie Smith.
We will talk about her later.
So, then they announced that Darnell Williams is joining the show.
As Shellac.
Boom Boom Washington Jones. Who I'm assuming is going to be Harmony's ex-pimp. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what the character's name is. I did see a blurb about Darnell saying that the character's angry. So I'm like, all right, so now you're telling me that your character's like the stereotypical angry black man. Like, why can't they bring these characters on and have them be power moguls? Like, why
couldn't... Because they are racist.
me and Jillian from Daytime Confidential were talking on Facebook about this, and I told
Jillian
I said,
knows it. Jamie knows
I said,
it.
I said, why?
I'm sure Luke knows
why
it.
Why couldn't her character?
DaytimeConfidential.com.
Why couldn't her character have gotten her crap together, and made a fortune somehow, and come to town with her shite together, being rich, fabulous, and taking over businesses? No, instead she has to come back sounding uneducated, like she just put down the crack pipe yesterday. I'm like, I don't understand why you have a powerhouse actress.
I have a question for you. Is the character deep? Does it have any layers or levels?
Not from the scenes that I saw. She sounds uneducated, girl.
Maybe she precious.
That's what she sounds like. Stone. She sounds like Precious' mother. I'm like, why couldn't she come to town being old Dominique Devereaux from Dynasty? Or Diane Carroll with a fierce white mink?
Because everyone knows black people don't do that.
And now Darnell's coming on as an angry black man.
Black people don't wear nice clothes or have good jobs. It's just the facts.
And then Melissa Claire Egan's on the show.
I'm being sarcastic, people. Why don't you turn up that devil? Is that Queen Ellis?
No, it's my friend Debbie.
All right, fine.
Okay. So what were we talking about?
He looked at the phone as if he was contemplating picking it up. I would have whooped your ass.
No, so Darnell's coming on, and then Melissa Claire Egan's on. I don't know what her character's about. I saw her in this crazy... You know who she's pregnant by? Her brother.
Shut up.
The guy from One of My Children who played her brother? He impregnated her. That grosses me out. I know they're not brother and sister on this show, but all I keep thinking is that they were brother and sister before.
That's hysterical.
They don't really use her at all either, I don't think.
I love it.
They're into stunt casting. They want to grab all these powerhouse names, and then they don't know what to do with them. They did it with Jeannie Francis. You know, they fired Eden Rigel.
Regal.
She ain't Regal.
Her name is Eden Regal, not
Oh,
Rigel.
I thought it was Rigel. I don't know.
No.
Anyway.
Of course they did.
You know
why?
To say, why?
Because, what did they cast her as? Something that she wasn't right for. Yeah, that's
right. Especially because the girl who played it before her was very voluptuous and sexy. That's not Eden.
That's not Eden. Eden is voluptuous, though.
She got a big breast, but that's...
She's not sexy. She's not driving a bus to sexy town.
Look, I love me some Jeannie Francis, but Jeannie Francis
Except
is a mother.
Except when she's macking a beef.
Yeah.
It's a little true. It's kind of hot when she's kissing on another lady.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Jeannie Francis is another one. I love me my Jeannie Francis, but Jeannie Francis is not a femme fatale.
Carlos is going to be so proud of me for using that phrase on a podcast.
Yeah.
Mac and a beef.
She's Jeannie Francis is more Mother Earth. She's not a, you know,
Back to General Hospital?
I don't know. She's still on Young and the Restless. I heard they fired her, but she's still on. I was at the gym the other day, and they had Young and the Restless. Keep walking, man. Don't look at us.
We're in his neighborhood. Yeah, he looked not happy.
He looked weird.
Yeah.
Now you're going to see the Dominicans out in full force, girl.
All right.
Now you're going to... We're literally in front of my building. So we're in Dominican...
We're in Dominican Central.
What's that called? The danger zone?
Yes.
The hot zone.
So, I'm getting started on that show.
So Young and the Restless, I tried. Bold and the Beautiful, I cannot get into that show. I don't like that tranny on the show. She annoys me. And I feel like if you're going to have a tranny in the show, get a real tranny to play the role. They could have gotten Candace Cane to play that role. Don't get no girl that looks like a tranny to play a tranny. Oh, maybe the character's not really tranny.
The big question viewers want to know, are you watching General Hospital yet?
I'm watching the opening credits to see if Ron's name is there. Frank's name's already there, right? Frank's name has been there for a couple of weeks.
Are you seeing the effects?
The little bit that I've seen, yes.
Okay.
But I'm not watching until Ron takes over. And it has to be soon because they're coming soon.
Did you see
the new commercial?
No.
New commercial's intense.
Really?
New commercial makes General Hospital look very, very hot.
Okay.
Like One Life to Live, hot. That's how hot.
Wow.
I don't know who they're killing off, but I'm going to be very upset if it's the baby. It looks
what
like it's
baby?
Star's baby. It looks like if somebody dies.
Are you kidding me?
Stars in the commercial is very quick.
That is messed up.
It's little, and she's screaming, "Watch out!" And it looks like she's in a car accident. Now I don't know if it's Cole that dies or the baby that dies, but the next scene is Sonny telling what's his name, Todd, telling somebody, I'm going to make Sonny Carrasco's pay. Yeah, Roger Howard telling somebody, I'm going to make Sonny pay for what happened. So I was like, ooh, shite. And then Blair slaps the shit out of him in General Hospital, inside General Hospital. She slaps. So they're in the hospital for something. Somebody got hurt. And then my favorite scene was Carly and Blair toasting to something about moving forward and on with their lives. I think they both want to get rid of their men. She wants to get rid of Todd, and she wants to get rid of Sonny once and for all.
I thought Todd was in jail for killing his brother.
We'll find out what's going on.
Adios.
But let me tell you another scene that killed me.
What?
I have never loved McBain more than I love that scene where he looks Sonny in the face and he says, I'm going to make it my mission to bring you down once and for all. Because if anybody can bring this mother down, it's McBain.
Thank you.
Woo!
Have you heard?
What?
He's selling Mr. Michael Easton, who plays Michael McBain, right?
John McBain.
Jesus. John McBain is selling his fat pad in New York City to move out to California. So
yeah,
he may have a more permanent gig than the other.
I don't understand why they're saying. Well, first of all, Kristen Alderson already said that she signed a 3-year contract with General Hospital.
Okay,
so she stayed. I don't understand how, though. If she loses her baby or Cole, why would she stay in Port Charles? All places.
Why?
Like, that's weird.
Maybe so, she loses them both.
I don't know. But why stay in the place that you lost them?
Maybe because she's trying to avenge their death or figure out who murdered them.
All I'm going to say is that I'm looking forward to the new General Hospital. And for all you haters out there and naysayers, oh, well, tough luck, tough cookies, because Ron and Frank are in and so are the One Night to Live people. I'm sorry, I don't like all this hating against the One Night to Live people. General Hospital needs help. And I'm not saying that all the One Night to Live cast members should come over.
Who is hating on my One Night to Live?
Oh, there's a lot of people that are very venomous about it. They're sending them hate mail. They're already not. Without even seeing the storyline.
You shook your head when you said venomous.
Venomous.
I liked it.
It was very soap opera.
It was very venomous.
And it just kind of ticked me off because my feeling is just like, you know what? Like, they're trying their best to make this show work. You know what I mean? And they're doing what they have to do to make this show work. I'm sorry, but there were
General Hospital
needs help. There's a lot of dead wood on that show.
Thank you.
They finally fired that girl who thought she was Nell. Who thought she was Jodie Foster now. This girl that he introduced on the island that walked around for the first few months being mute. She wouldn't say anything. And then the guy who played opposite her, who plays Luke's son, Ethan.
I pulled out my peanut butter cups. You may have a taste of one.
Oh, my God, girl. Like, I've been looking all over for them. They don't have them.
These are dark chocolate ones. You like dark chocolate?
Give me half. I don't want it because that's all you have. I'll take half.
Okay, take the big half.
You're so generous.
I love my Jordan Hudson. I love my peanut butter cups.
I can't find them here in the city.
That's crazy.
Well, I definitely can't find them in the Bronx, girl.
Not the Bronx.
Bronx is
Manhattan,
ghetto.
You should be able to find them. Justin's Organic Peanut Butter Cups.
I think Les told me on Facebook that he went and got it. Was it you, Les? I think it was you. Les went and told
me. Justin's Peanut Butter Cups.
Mm.
Those people should pay me a dime every time I mention their name.
Yeah. So they're hating on them, but Nell's gone. She got fired. And then the kid who plays Ethan opposite her was like, oh, my God, she's such an amazing actress. She challenges me all the time. That girl is boring as all hell. She cannot act. I'm sorry.
Which one was Ethan? That fake Australian accent kid?
No, he's really Australian, but...
Oh, really?
He turned out to be a good actor once you get all those marbles out of his mouth.
Seriously?
He has some good... They never really gave him storyline, though.
I don't believe it.
So then, they're hating on them, but yet, they have that damn Australian or whatever his... I call him abs with an accent. Because all we saw of him was his abs, and now that we're hearing him, all I'm hearing is that accent.
That's funny.
He's another waste of a character. I don't know what he's doing there.
What's happening to,
and then,
what's her name? The little
that other Robin. That other doctor who looks like Chucky's bride, she's another one who needs to go.
I don't know any of these people.
They're awful. They're the new characters that Gavin Wolf created.
I tried to do it yesterday, and I didn't.
Well, Robin dies. I don't know how, but Robin's dead. I think she died yesterday.
Was that the whole thing in the poison?
And some explosion and stuff.
Yeah, she got trapped. She's like, they're like doctors and shit. And they like were careless with some test tubes.
I would have wished they just let her die of HIV. I'm sorry.
What happened with the whole infecting the other person with her HIV blood?
Oh, that ended months ago when she they foiled that attempt. But I think they should have. But see, the thing was, they started it to make it seem like Robin was dying anyway. They said that because that same nutcase Lisa had switched Robin's HIV meds with placebos. So Robin was off the cocktail for a while. Okay. And, you know, once you get off, it's not like you could get back on and it's going to have the same effect. It causes some you know, a disruption in the process. So it seemed that Robin...
You go from having no viral load to an amazingly high viral load. So you go back into the AIDS territory.
Yeah. So that's what was happening. So it looked like Robin was dying from that. And I don't know why they decided not to just let it be like that. I think it would have been more touching like that than some, you know, explosion kind of thing.
Yeah, why do they always do that on soaps now?
I don't know.
That real shit happened.
Don't you remember when Cindy Chandler died on Omen Children? That was brilliant.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
So I think it was a time when people were dying of AIDS. Now, I understand people are still dying of AIDS, but the cocktail has stopped that a little bit.
Yeah, but people still die.
That's true.
People still die.
That's true.
And she was off her meds for a while, taking nothing, you know? I believed it.
And I heard, what's her name is back? Her mama.
Yes. And, you know, I have never been a big Finola Hughes fan, but I was glad to have Anna back on the show. See, and this is all Frank's doing. Frank and Ron know what they're doing. They brought Anna back. They're bringing Tristan Rogers back as Scorpio. They're bringing my Robin Madsen back as Crazy Heather Webber.
That's right.
Lord have mercy. General Hospital's going to be hot as soon as Ron starts writing this show.
That's right. That's right.
Because I love me some Robin Madsen.
He started this past Tuesday, yesterday.
I don't. Well, maybe he did start yesterday. I got to check the... I didn't see the credits.
Are you DVRing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if I don't see his name, I just delete. I can't... Look, I cannot watch it until he is writing.
All right. I hear you.
I'm trying my best, people, but I enough with this...
You have 92 other programs to watch after all.
I do watch a lot of TV. I gotta tell you right now.
How are you not making a living at writing about television?
I don't know, but I should.
You really should.
I gotta tell you. You know what you're missing out on?
Not Smash.
No.
What am I missing?
You liked Smash, didn't you?
We will talk about it. What am I missing out on?
The Lion Game on ABC Family with my Alexandra Chando. Mm. It is the best teen soap opera around. This was the show that I was telling you about that Chuck Pratt's involved with.
You told me this. That's right.
It is. And for those of you who want good soap opera, start watching The Lion Game. I mean, they are doing classic soap storylines. And she plays twin sisters. And let me tell you, the bitch twin sister did something this week that was beyond mega bitch. I sat there on my TV and I was like, what a C.
See you next Tuesday.
Yes, I was like, I could not believe, because her other sister Emma's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what she did was foul. She pretended to be Emma and went to the jail cell to talk to her ex-boyfriend, who's now Emma's boyfriend, right? And then he confesses that something almost happened between him and Sutton. He goes, you know, I have to tell you that we kissed, but nothing else happened. I stopped myself because I don't want her. I just want you. And I don't care anything for her. But he didn't realize he was talking to Sutton. Oh, and the look on her face, girl. You could tell inside. And then that's when she made her decision. And this girl is such a great actress. And she made it like this. She was like, well, you know what, Ethan? I got to tell you that while you were away with Sutton, I was lonely. And...
Oh, that's evil.
And I forgot what his name is, the other kid. And she says, yeah, she said, I slept with him. I didn't mean to, but I was lonely. You weren't here. And the thing is that Emma's a virgin. Emma hasn't slept with anybody. So then the truth comes out. He gets out of the jail thing.
That's good.
Wait,
I like it.
No, it gets better, girl. He gets out of the jail thing, right? He gets out of the jail situation. And when he sees Emma, who's pretending to be Sutton, nobody in the show except for like a couple of people know that there's two of them. So Emma's been pretending to be Sutton. So Emma's there as Sutton. And he totally disses her and tells his brother, get me out of here. Get me out of here. And she's wondering what's going on. And then the guy that Sutton lied that he had sex with, him and his sister are just like, what's going on? Why did he diss you like that? And poor Emma's like, I don't know. So then later on, Sutton comes to the house and she's sitting there with Emma. And Emma's like, I don't know what's going on. He was so cold to me and blah, blah. And Sutton goes, well, Emma, I don't know how to tell you this. And she's like, what? She goes, I was hoping that we could just put it in our past, but obviously we can't. She goes, the reason that Ethan was so upset with you was because while we were on the run, we slept together. We had sex. I didn't. And poor Emma Beliza. No, all they did was kiss. But I sat there and I said, what a bitch. I was like, what a bitch. I hate you, Sutton. You're a bitch.
I hate you.
Girl, the lying game is hot. I can't take out enough of my lying game. I'm like, oh, my Lord. I was like, that was classic soap.
Commentary.
That was classic soap. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
I was like, I could not believe it.
You told me that your Alexandra Chando had nothing on Sarah Michelle.
Oh, yeah. I love The Ringer. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy The Ringer. You know what I like about The Ringer, too? Is The Ringer seems to be the TV show where ex-soap stars go to work. They have so many ex-soap stars besides Sarah Michelle Gellar on it.
Funny.
You know who's on it?
Who?
Your guy from All My Children.
Justin Bruni.
And I got to tell you, are you sitting down for this?
I'm sitting.
Best work he's ever done.
Wow.
I swear to you not. I'm blown away like the rest of you. I cannot believe.
I love him and I respect him.
I cannot believe that I'm enjoying. I think this is his best work ever.
I respect him as an actor.
He is an actor in this show.
About him and studying in New York. And
well, obviously, those lessons finally kicked in after all these years because I actually enjoy him on The Ringer. It's not that I dislike her because you know I love me my Sarah Michelle Gellar. But she is not that great at playing twins.
She's awful. Come on. She's not
a good
actress.
Really, the only,
she's not good at playing anything except Buffy.
The only way that you...
She tried to do movies. And what was the last movie now you saw her make? Because she sucks.
Scooby-Doo 2, I think.
Thank you. She sucked.
The only difference between her twins...
She wasn't good in that movie.
The only difference between her twins...
And she was playing a cartoon.
The only difference between her twins is that one has ammonia and the other one has the hair down.
Ammonia is a bun, right?
Ammonia is a bun. For those of you who are in Spanish, it's a very high bun. Latin women love putting their hair up in ammonia.
I love ammonia.
And I don't think I've ever seen you with ammonia.
I haven't had ammonia, but I do.
You just got your hair done. It looks fabulous.
Thank you.
Who did your hair?
I can't tell you who did my hair. Then I have to kill you. You crazy mofo.
All right. Well, whoever.
You clearly have not gotten a haircut. You have about 1/8 of a millimeter of growth.
It gets cut tomorrow. Every Thursday or Friday, whenever I can squeeze it in.
You should see his hair, people. It is like no more than a speck out of his hair. And he thinks it's long.
You don't understand. I grew up with curly hair my whole life, and I had to take care of it and gel it and da-da-da-da. And girl, now that I'm older, I just like the feeling of just being able to get up and not have to worry about my hair.
Oh, my God. How do you have to worry about this? There's nothing on your head.
No, I'm saying when I was younger and I had the massive curly hair.
I saw those pictures. I love those pictures. I love it.
Looking all like a Latin little orphan Annie.
Wasn't there some recent...
What is she wearing?
...additional controversy? She's wearing them Target leggings or those Walmart leggings.
But you can see right through them.
That's the problem, people. You got to beware. Cheap leggings. You pay a price. With cheap leggings, you pay because they're see-through. If you pay $7 under a Target or Walmart for leggings, your ass, your panties, your cellulite, everything will be seen. Save your money. Go to Gap. Spend $21. Don't go to Old Navy because they're see-through too. Go to Gap. Go to somewhere more expensive. Spend $20-$25 on leggings and then no one will see your ass or your cellulite. I'm right.
He's cute.
Am I right?
Yes, he's cute.
That walk through the Bronx, you see the see-through leggings.
Look at this one with the shades and that hideous handkerchief on her head.
Fine. I have a question for you. Wasn't there a recent controversy with and more news from Kentucky Avenue Productions?
They claimed they finally got some backers and they got some money. That was like about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We haven't heard from them since.
Really? That was when we did our last podcast? I thought it was right after.
No, girl. It's been almost a month and a half since we did our last podcast. True. We did it at the end of One Night to Live, which was January 13th.
Today is the 22nd. We posted that shit on the 16th of January. So it's just over a day or two, over a month. She's dancing now.
The ring. Oh, yeah, baila, senora, with your shades and that ugly handkerchief.
I'm telling you right now.
She's a hibala.
Oh, my God.
They don't want me making fun, and they shouldn't be on the streets.
Fine. Do we have any other soap news? We got some good articles. You should go to the website, people. HighValleyPodcast.blogspot.com, because people are posting some really good New York Times articles. There was a really good New York Times article from one of the writers from One of My Children when she got fired and everything got canceled.
Yes. Oh, Michael Knight. Michael Knight finally spoke out. For those of you who don't know or have been under a brick, under a boulder somewhere.
Do you have the issue? I didn't get the issue.
No, it wasn't an issue. It was an interview with Michael Logan from, I think,
TV. No, but it said it was appearing in the February 28th edition of Soap Opera Digest.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know. Michael, for those of you who don't know, Michael Knight finally spoke out.
He plays Tad on All My Children.
And he said that if it was up to, Franz Ho, that he would have been written off the show, like, in 2006 or 2007. And he also put blame to Julie Crapothers,
saying that she
felt that his character was just there for comic relief. And it wasn't until, like, the last year and a half that he felt that he was actually given a storyline and able to act.
Effing freaking idiots.
The one thing that we disagree with him on is that he said also that, in to be fair, he felt that he could understand that Tad had done everything.
That's a load of horseshit.
And Ashley made an astute commentary about it. Astute. Go ahead. Tell them what you said.
No, I said that's bullshit. Tad was grow. If they would let Tad grow, then he'd have plenty of storylines for each age period that he was entering into. He became a father. He became a grandfather at one point, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, there was plenty of life stages for him to go through and experience different things that we enjoyed. He discovered he had a son.
I know. I
think
what you said, though, to phrase you properly
Thank you.
You were very brilliant. You said maybe Tad the Cat storyline is over, but Tad Martin's storyline still goes on.
I said that.
And I agree with you. I think if there's no storyline,
so cooked, just like Erica's, you know, sleeping around, yeah, done and over. Let her settle down and be a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you, when you got an actor of that caliber and a character with that much history,
yep,
if there's no storyline, it's only because your writers have a very limited imagination.
Absolutely. Pressure to write for young characters. You know what? We love older characters. Did we not tune in for Bo Buchanan? Did we not tune in for Clint and Asa Buchanan?
Yes.
I mean, come on now.
Exactly.
They had Clint Buchanan, especially to me, had some of his best character developments in his later years.
Yes.
Because he was born for a little while, and then towards the end of the run, I loved him towards the end of the run.
Yes. Yep. I agree with you.
Thank you.
100%. Now, look.
That's what my twins say. They go, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everything that I do for my kids, they say please and thank you. I swear to God.
That's good that you're getting them started early doing that. That's very nice. They're very well-mannered children.
I don't even expect a thank you, and they say, thank you, Mommy. I lift him out of the car. Thank you, Mommy. I put him in the high chair. Thank you, Mommy. It's freaking adorable. Oh, my God. Freaking adorable. He has tears in his eyes.
That's so sweet.
It really is. They're sweethearts. You would love
them. Then when they get to be teenagers, they're going to be like, F you, Mommy.
I know. Because it
turns into F you, Mommy soon.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm so scared of it. But you know what? His teenagers are so good.
Huh?
Shadow's teenagers are so good.
Well, of course, they're Shadow's kids.
I know. They're really good kids. So it's like, I have that to hope for. You know what I'm saying?
They look like criminals.
Not Shadow's kids! The kids on the street!
Oh, the kids.
Jesus!
So
that was that.
So then I try to watch the last soap opera that's there, which is Days of Our Lives. I'm sorry. I know you Days of Our Lives fans think that it's great right now. I try my best to try to watch into it and get into it, but I really couldn't. I mean, first of all, the gay storyline, which would have kept me watching, I don't even know if they're even going through with that storyline. I mean, I know they said they wanted to take their time and let Will come out, but Will still owed that.
What the F is this shit?
She's an ex-drug addict. She rents. She's a white woman.
Like older white woman.
She's a white woman, right? I know. I have the whole story. She is an ex-drug addict.
She's all frustrated. She's smoking her red Newport.
She's an ex-drug addict. And she rents a room out of the building from one of the Dominicans. Because, you know, Dominicans love taking over apartments.
If I was an actress, I would use her.
And I feel so bad because her little son.
She got a fake Gucci bag, too.
I guess the son lives with the grandparents because she's an ex-drug addict. He's like about probably 11 or 12. Oh, and he's always out here waiting for her.
She doesn't look young.
Well, honey, those drugs, you know.
Yeah.
And this little kid's always around him. And I feel bad for him. I'm like, little white boy, what are you doing here?
I can't hear this. That makes me want to cry.
Don't you know? Don't be around this neighborhood.
It makes me want to cry.
These Dominicans will beat you up and steal your money.
I can't hear it. Well, that drug addicts, they help each other by lighting
and
each other.
He gave her a
full cigarette.
He's silly. Well, he's young. He shouldn't be smoking.
I would have saved that shit. See, I know. I'm an ex-smoker.
See, there you go.
We used to do that. Me and my man, we used to have like a whole like ashtray full of half-smoked cigarettes. And if we ran out, we just take the, you know.
I have never, thank God, ever. Oh, I find it so... Let me tell you something. That is the one thing about me. I have turned many, many guys down when I found that. That's how I know I really like a guy. Because if they find out that they smoke and I'm still interested in them, that means I really like them. Because to me, I might as well take an ashtray and shove my tongue in it. That's what it's like kissing somebody who smokes.
It is true.
It's disgusting. I don't understand. I've never understood the appeal. I find it gross. No,
I'm going to tell you the truth. When I smoked, I loved it.
Oh, gross.
But I outgrew it. I was probably late 20s, early 30s.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever done pot?
No, I don't smoke pot.
Have you ever tried it, though?
I have.
Okay, see, I've never even done pot.
Can I tell you something?
Even pot.
Puerto Ricans, to an extent, I know there's a lot of pot. What? I know there's a lot of dope smoking Puerto Ricans, don't get me wrong. But like a lot of us that were raised in like strict homes, I don't know a lot of us that smoke pot.
Well,
it was like a very white drug. Like
no.
A lot of white kids.
No.
I grew up
with my family smoking pot openly. Not like,
really?
They didn't smoke it like... You understand, my family is huge, and my family used to get together.
Oh, my God.
My family used to get together. Listen.
I'm appalled.
My parents were hippies, and they were young.
Holy shit.
And in that time period, it was a recreational thing. And when the family...
My parents were both virgins
when the family
got...
Yeah, no, not my... not my father, for sure.
At 19 years old.
Because I have an older half-brother. So I know my father wasn't a virgin. Now, let me say... When the family used to get together on the weekend, the adults would go into one of the rooms and they would do what they had to do, whether it's a little snorting or a little puffing.
Wow,
yeah.
But
none of my family, it was recreational. It was the 70s and 80s. It was a recreational thing. They eventually all grew out of it, some of them. And nobody ever became addicted. But see, this is why I don't necessarily buy into that if you're raised in this kind of environment. See, like, my parents did it. I never felt the need to.
You could go two
ways. I've never felt the need to even try it. I've never done any kind of... I was a late bloomer with alcohol.
You go two ways. You either go one way or you go the other. You either get really super into it or you don't do it.
I started drinking...
Same thing with child abuse or woman abuse.
Do you know who I blame for the drinking?
Who?
That Queen Ellis. My friend Vanessa brought him back into our life.
I slap the shit out of him when I see him.
Brought him back into my life.
We still have stories about that Queen Ellis.
He wants to come do a podcast with us.
All right, he could do a podcast.
He wants to come do a podcast with us.
I want Shadow to do a podcast with us.
Okay.
He's been so busy. The problem with for Shadow is that he actually has a job.
I know.
We don't have jobs.
Well, I have a job, but it's ridiculous.
My job is being a mom.
My job is ridiculous. It's doing this podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
That he don't get paid for.
That I don't get paid for. No, I mean, I have my few clients that drive me crazy, but it's not consistent enough. You know what I mean? It's very up and down. And
if this guy's getting out, I can move back.
Okay.
Oh,
some of these people just drive me. Some of my clients drive me crazy. They don't seem to comprehend that this is my job and this is how I make my money. So when you don't, you know, live up to your end and do what you need to do, I'm getting screwed over. So I gotta find another job. I gotta find like a job because I need to go to Canada this year. That's what it
you
comes
do.
About. My sister just got back from Australia.
Oh my God! Did she
went for 2 weeks.
She's on her own with work.
Huh?
On her own.
And she's going to Alaska in June for her birthday.
That's astounding.
By herself, she's got a cruise.
Sister. I really
my
love
sister,
her.
I look, I
she's a
my
girl.
I actually when she was in Australia, she called me. I cried
can't
on
tell
the
what
phone.
She does?
What?
She can't tell me she works in.
Go ahead.
She works in advertising.
Okay. So she...
She's like a cool, with it, Latina.
Yeah, she's... I respect and admire my sister a lot because...
She went out
she's
there.
She's nothing
she
like me.
Yeah.
She's... She, you know, we were talking on the phone and I started crying because lately, I don't know, I'm having my period like every day. I'm very emotional. I cry almost every day.
He's also been very sick, people.
Yes, this has not been a good month for me. Ever since the holidays, I have been sick off and on. Thank
like
you for reminding
a
me.
Dog.
Like 1 week it's strep throat, the next week it's stomach virus.
The next week he's dropping barbells on his nuts. He dropped barbells on his nuts.
I did not drop a barbell on my nut. It was an accident yesterday. I put the barbell on the dumbbell on my chest for a second and it rolled down
it was
onto
sweaty,
my throat.
Apparently.
No, I don't know why it slipped.
It must have been sweating.
No, I was sweating.
He calls me. Ashley, I'm on my way to the emergency room. I had a little gym accident. And he didn't really tell me what it was for like 2 minutes. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, he dropped a barbell on his nuts. It fell out his nuts.
God forbid.
I'm thinking of him with like elephantitis, like hobbling.
Oh my God. God forbid.
Too funny.
No, it was such a stupid little, I mean, I shouldn't know better. But what happened was I was taking an abs class and I was starting to sweat. So I put the dumbbell down on my chest for a second, just, and it literally rolled down on top of my neck.
Neck.
All
right, fine.
All right.
You can see it too. I don't have a ton more time. So
let's start talking about
what television.
Smash.
So people, Bliss. If you haven't noticed, we've started with soaps. And we would like to talk about TV and a little pop culture.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking to y'all.
Let us know what you think.
Because
we still want to do the podcast. And I know you guys still want us to do the podcast. A lot of you were emailing me. Does this mean the podcast?
You really want us to do
it. I know.
So we're going to do it.
For you Canadians. It's all for you.
All Canadians except for one American in Texas.
Yes. Okay. So Bliss, she hit me on Facebook today. Bliss, you know, beautiful Bliss, who looks like Becky Hurst from General Hospital.
Yes, yes.
Bliss hit me up because she loves Smash.
Beautiful. You told me too.
Bliss, I have mixed feelings about Smash. We're gonna. Did you see Smash?
Some of our posters on our blog, which you haven't been on lately.
I know. I got to get back on. I'm sorry. I've been sick. What did you think of it? Did you see it? Did you see the first episode?
I've seen the first two. There's one.
Oh, I didn't see the second one. I just saw the first one was quite enough for me.
All right, I am mixed because I want to like it. I desperately want to like it too.
It's my kind of thing.
I think that there is room on television for a really good old-fashioned show about the theater. I just do.
Yeah.
And entertainment. Uh-huh. And I was hoping for this to be it, but it was not very different to me. Everyone's saying how different it is.
It's not different at all.
In fact, it's the same old stupid shit stereotypes.
Yes. It's all stereotypes.
And it's very glossy, and there's a lot of it that doesn't feel very real to me. New York is gritty. New York actors and actresses are theater actresses are gritty. They're not perfectly beautiful. Although the musical theater actress they had, I thought was pretty right on. She was a little bit big.
Yeah.
She wasn't beautiful. She had a great voice. She's an excellent actress.
Oh, I loved her. She was the one godsend.
In the second episode, she did a Marilyn monologue that almost had me in tears.
She's a godsend.
And Kathy McPhee doesn't have those chops.
Yeah.
She's like handling it. She's like getting by, you know, being very natural and all that shit, but she's not acting. All
right, well, let's talk about the unrealistic things. First of all, how many, because you know actors and actresses, right?
We all do. We're in
how many struggling actors and actresses do you know live in apartments like those two live
That's
in?
That's bullshit.
If you had an apartment like that, you have 300 square feet
to yourself. You are freaking lucky, and that's for like $2,000 a month, people.
Yes, there's no way that these girls could have been living in those apartments. They would have to live with 10 other people.
Yes, exactly.
And sharing a room with somebody. That's how bad it is.
Convenient for the Kathryn McPhee character because they gave her that boyfriend. But even that boyfriend's piece of shit job. That's a piece of shit job. He ain't making but $75 a year on that job.
But that's another thing. Let's get on that. Because my whole thing was, I didn't mind any of the women on the show. I had an issue with every single male actor on the show. They all reminded me of that. Remember that actor on All My Children? The one we used to call the...
I thought the director was passable.
No. Remember the actor from All My Children? What was his name? Dre?
Yeah.
That I used to call him the black hole because he used to like suck all the energy out?
Yes!
That's what every single man on Smash
that
was
train,
like.
Right?
Not Trey, Dre.
Okay.
That's what every single man on Smash was. The worst of all was the young black boy. Because I know so many queens that are actors here in New York that could have turned that role out.
He was the same.
He is so bland and boring. There was nothing there.
He went to Juilliard. He dotted all his eyes.
His acting was awful. There was how the casting director saw him and said, this is the one.
It's actually a good character. Like this ambitious assistant who's always sneaking around. Listen to conversations and shit.
He was awful,
Queens
though.
Queens do that.
Yes, but he was bad.
And they'll open the door and smile as if they were bending down to tie their shoe. You know what I'm saying?
He was boring.
He didn't have any
And even worse, he
so
wasn't even
stupid.
Cute. He wasn't even cute.
Yeah.
And then Deborah Messing's partner, another one I did not like.
Terrible.
You know
she's
who?
She's so good and he was so bad.
Yes, exactly. This is what I didn't like. about the show. Every time the guys were with the women, they made the women so bad because they sucked the energy out of the women.
Seriously.
Deborah Messing was so alive. And it's like,
she was good.
When you're acting, it's like passing a ball back and forth. Deborah Messing was throwing the ball against the brick wall with him. Let me ask you this.
Though.
Why?
Even her partner,
why not?
I think, too.
Her husband? Oh,
her
I'll get.
Partner.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Her partner, the musical partner.
Oh, I was talking about her husband. I thought.
Yeah, they're all terrible. But no, I'm talking about the musical guy. Why couldn't they've cast Sean Hayes in that role?
Well, I think that would have been too much.
I know, but they have chemistry. They work well together.
He is so freaking talented.
And Sean Hayes would have been perfect for this role.
He's a phenomenal actor.
Sean Hayes, I would have...
He's a piece of shit in real life, but a phenomenal actor.
Because of the Will and Grace connection, I would have done it. Because they had chemistry. Oh, girl, I was so upset with that. And yes, her husband's a Broadway actor, and I couldn't believe how bad he was.
I kept thinking of Mandy Patinkin, but Mandy Patinkin would have actually been good in the role.
Mandy Patinkin, I would have liked that.
Right? Am I right?
This is why we should be casting.
That's what they said. I bet you in the whole thing where they announced the roles, they said Mandy Patinkin type, but younger or something like that.
No, I would have gotten Mandy Patinkin.
He would have been great, right?
He would have been great.
Yeah, because he is a Broadway actor.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a stretch, but he's also very, he's great at comedy, he's great at drama, he's great at all of it.
Now look, you know that I love my Brits. I have been madly in love with one who broke my heart. Every single Brit that I've ever had sex with has been amazing. I want to go out to England just to have sex.
Do they have nice wee willy winkies?
They're all perfectly fine. They don't call them Big Ben for nothing. Anyway, I love being my Brits, but I'm getting kind of tired of watching my American shows, and there always has to be somebody with an accent on it. And Smash has not one, but two. Why did both those guys have to be British? Why did the director have to be British? Only Brits could direct?
There's an incredible lack of diversity in this cast, in my opinion.
Yes, exactly. And then another thing.
Except for that token black guy.
You're going to say that her boyfriend is Indian. But as I told Ashley, her character is supposed to be some Midwestern girl from Idaho that moved to New York to become an actor. Why couldn't she get involved with a blue-collar Puerto Rican? She's living in New York. Why couldn't that happen?
To be honest with you, you know who really works a lot in those political jobs? A lot of like blue collar Italian people.
Why couldn't he be more ethnic? Why couldn't he be Italian or Irish or a real New Yorker? Instead, he's an Indian Brit.
I'm not feeling any of these people. It's a very polished New York, and did you see? We talked about this. The Chorus Line documentary.
No, yes, I've heard great things about it because what's his name from Wanted to Live? Jason Tam's in it.
He was in it, first of all.
I heard he's heartbreaking.
Die. He was in his audition. You could hear a pin drop when he did the role. I forgot the guy's name of the role.
Carlos or something.
But he's gay and a cross dresser, and he is performing for the first time, and he doesn't realize his parents have come to see the show, and he's not come out to them yet. And so, you know, where he comes from, you know, this is like you're dead to me kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you don't do that. And so he did this monologue and about the revelation when he was so happy. He couldn't have been happy to be on stage performing and doing this role and having a great time and having all the queens laugh at him and have fun with him and love him and stuff. And then he turns around and he sees his parents and his face literally drops and he just stops and time stands still for him. And he just realizes that he has been, quote unquote, busted. He realizes he's been discovered, and everything just stops for him. And he talks about that moment where he looks, I can't talk about it, I'm going to cry. I don't even remember what his father says, but his father says, you know, this is from me, son, you know, and he calls him son, and his father had never called him son before. And it was just amazing, and I'm talking about this because this is a freaking audition that this man does. It was an audition. It wasn't a performance. It was an audition. And he says, thank you, and all the auditors say thank you, and as soon as they leave the room, they all start crying. You know, they can't cry when he's in the room. But it was such an authentic look, and when I looked at these actresses and watched what they go through for the part of Cassie, is that the lead role? In the Chorus Line?
Yes.
Cassie, who's amazing. He's an amazing dancer, amazing actress, amazing singer, amazing everything. You have to be God's gift to this world to play this role. And they're all dying to play this role. And what these actresses go through, and the lives that they live, and the apartments they live in, and the jobs they work, these people are freaking broke. They were like, half of them were like on their last, you know, $200. They didn't know how they were going to make rent. These auditions were 8 months apart. You know, one actress was told, do what you did last time. She said, I was here 8 months ago. How do I freaking do this? It was like the most, I'm getting goosebumps because I never thought about that, you know, what actors and actresses go through. They have to have guts of steel. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they deal with the rejection. You're talking about Broadway caliber actors and actresses. Every day, the rejection that they go through, the hoops that they jump through to get these roles. This show did not capture that for me.
Yeah, it didn't capture that for me. Look, it could have been.
But it had some moments, though.
It has some moments. It has some moments.
I want to talk about some of the good moments.
It has some moments, but like I was saying, this show could have been a very realistic portrayal of what it takes to break into Broadway on the show. It could have been what Remember Fame, the original movie Fame, how deep and rich Fame was. That it could have been like that. Instead, it was just fluff, people. And I'm sorry, when I'm watching 92 hours of TV a week, I don't have time for fluff.
I was really proud of you when you left me that message.
About what?
You left me the message about seeing Smash. Or actually, I read it. I read it online.
Uh-huh.
You left it on our blog. And I thought it was most astute commentary that you had, because I was watching and I'm thinking to myself, I should be loving this, but I'm not. And I realized why after reading it. I was afraid to say to you because I thought you were going to love it, you know, just for the musicality of it. Because I think the music's good.
The music is good.
And I really like the fantasy. I was telling Jordan that I really like the fantasy parts where the actresses are auditioning and they're picturing, like, they're in their little fantasy world as they're performing, as, you know, many actors do. And I really love that. And I really love the idea of them going up against each other for this role. And I thought that was kind of realistic.
Yeah, they didn't hate
each other. They weren't catty. It wasn't bullshitty that way.
Right.
It wasn't all about Eve. You know what I'm saying? But I thought a lot of it was very good. I thought there was a moment you missed in the second week where Deborah Messing read a letter to her soon-to-be-adopted daughter, and it was the most beautiful letter I've ever heard a mother say to her child that she hasn't even met yet. So there are, like, moments in this show that are incredibly beautiful and incredibly precious. Did you buy it? Because in the second episode, the second star, the blonde, slept with the director.
Yeah, I saw that in the coming attractions.
And I didn't buy that. It's different. First of all the directors here are gay. So you wouldn't have an actress sleeping with a director.
That's a stereotype, but you're absolutely right.
It's true. It's not a stereotype in your field.
There's a lot of directors are gay. Look,
It's not like California.
But see, but you tell me that, and a moment like that is, to me, a stereotype.
It is stereotypical.
That the actress sleeps with...
She slept with
that him. Happens every... Do something
and
different.
And she got the part, which is like the kiss of death. Normally, actresses that sleep with directors don't get the part.
Well, look, talking about moments that were unbelievable. Look, Catherine McPhee has a beautiful voice, and I'm not going to in any way say...
And she was dancing pretty good too when I saw her.
That when she sang Christina Aguilera's Beautiful, it was the worst rendition of that song ever.
I loved it.
I just did not believe, though, that that's the kind of performance that makes you look up and go, wow, I just found my new star.
The vocal quality was incredible. She has the most incredible voice. But the performance, you're right,
was lackluster.
Lacking.
It was very lackluster.
She doesn't have the fire in her.
And it didn't help that Deborah Messing overdid that looking up part. That was, look, I love me some Deborah Messing, but Deborah, girl, stop playing Grace Adler. There was a couple of moments that Grace Adler popped out.
There's a reason why Catherine McPhee did not win American Idol. There's a reason why her albums never sold. She doesn't have a spark. There's a spark missing.
Yeah.
There's a flame missing.
Something's
missing. Someone called this girl Miss Pretty Princess too many times when she was little.
She's a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So let's talk about, real quick.
Glee,
I don't watch it.
You don't watch it anymore. I gotta tell you, everybody used to complain about Glee's second season.
I heard Rachel was getting married, I wanted to vomit. Rachel was marrying Finn, and I wanted to vomit.
God, all the hot boys are coming out with the weather getting warm. He's cute.
Look at his pants. They're off his, I know. Literally down to his thigh.
He got swagger, girl. He got swagger. Anyway, Glee, the second season of Glee was very good to me. I loved it. It was a little Kurt-oriented, the way the first season was all about Rachel and Finn, but I felt like in the second season, everybody got a little bit of the spotlight.
Right.
This season, this is what people were accusing of happening in the second season. I feel that this season has been very, 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 very uneven.
I knew you were going to say
very uneven.
I love that word, uneven.
We go from one episode being one of the top greatest episodes of the history of Glee to the next episode being the most ridiculously stupid, horrible episode. I can't understand what they're going for this season. It has been all over the place. One of the things that has pissed me off the most, and again, me and my girl Jillian from Date Confidential, even though she won't hang out with me, I love her still. Me and Jillian agree on this is that we have an issue with the fact that they are not giving one of their hottest couples enough airtime, which is Mercedes and Sam.
Who is Sam?
Blonde boy with the lips.
No way.
When the show ended last season. Yeah.
Wasn't he with the blondie cheerleader?
No. Didn't you see? Oh, you didn't see the finale of last season.
No. He was with the blonde cheerleader, this guy, right? The guy that was with the
blonde cheerleader. Yeah, but he broke up with her a long time ago.
I just want to clip.
Right, the blonde one.
Okay, gotcha.
What happened was at the end of season two, we found out.
I would put my mouth.
Girl, the things that I want to do with that boy's lips. The thing I want to put up against that boy's lips. He's hot.
He is way too hot.
Anyway, to make a long story short, for those of you who don't know, at the end of season two, Mercedes and Sam were shown holding hands, and we were led to believe that they, without us knowing, had developed a secret relationship that they were keeping. I was so stoked and excited, and I thought that season three was going to be the Mercedes season, the way season two was Kurtz and season one was all about Rachel. And during the summer, they announced they let Court Overstreet, that's his name. I called him Chad once. I'm sorry. Court Overstreet go during the summer. I was very upset about that. Very, very upset about that. And Darren Criss was made a regular. That's the one who's opposite Kurt, Blaine, the gay boy.
Yes.
Who I like.
But
he's fine. But he's another one who I feel like, all right, we know he can sing and perform enough already. Like, the thing is that it's not that I don't like Rachel. It's like they keep forcing Rachel down our throats. In yesterday's episode, she sang two big numbers out of their performances for regionals. Like, come on, spread the wealth, people. I'm not gonna lie.
She's pretty good.
I will agree with you. I'm not doubting Lea Michele
she really is
singing talented. She's not the best singer on the show, though. And I'm gonna tell you why. I disagree with you. You know why?
Why?
Because she's limited in what she can do.
Bullshit.
She's great when it comes to singing abroad. I disagree with you.
Bullshit.
She cannot do pop, girl. She cannot do R&B.
She does Broadway.
No, girl. The top singers on that show are the two girls of colors, Mercedes, Amber Riley, who plays Mercedes, and Naya Rivera, who plays Santana. They can do Broadway. They can do bop.
That's the problem.
Yes, she can act.
She's a little weak as well.
No, you're crazy. You are insane.
Santana's not the best actress. When she played Anita in West Side Story, she was not good.
You are insane.
No, she wasn't good. I'm sorry. She was singing about her husband or her boyfriend who had just been killed by Maria's boyfriend.
I thought you didn't see Glee.
I saw that episode and I was furious because she had no connection to that fact. You are singing when your boyfriend has just been knifed to death.
I disagree with you.
Rita Moreno, when she played that part in the movie, you could hear your guts were torn out of your body. That's how intense that moment is when she sang with Maria that duet. It just drove me crazy. Santana did not do that. The actress that plays that role did not do that work, and she should have. And that was her job to do that. She gets paid good money to act. She should have acted.
I disagree with you.
How could you do that? Seriously.
Because you're making me mad. Because this was a high school student performing, not somebody giving a Broadway performance.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Jordan Hudson.
You don't know if the directors were like, don't overdo it,
Bullshit.
Don't overkill it. You don't know what went down.
You don't think you
it was fine.
Know when you're
it was fine.
A song
it was fine.
That, your boyfriend was just gutted.
You're not
going to
get me. I love her. You're not going to get me to say anything otherwise. I love her. Anyway, you're not going to win this one.
You know it.
You are not right.
You consider yourself an acting professional.
Yes.
I am right.
She does no wrong. I love her. Anyway, so they...
Lea Michele was connected to that.
No,
Lea
Michele...
just murdered...
Michele has been giving a great performance.
Her brother.
You just said something that you thought was gross about Rachel and Finn getting together, and I disagree with you. You haven't seen the storyline. They have played the storyline beautifully.
I think this is the best. Why do they writers have nowhere to go but to have these very ambitious teenagers trying to get married?
It's a load of horseshit. No, listen
to
me, Ashley. You haven't watched the show.
In upstate New York. I had a love of my life, and I dream about this man. Almost every night to this day, I swear on my life, I dream about this man. But I left him. You know why?
Why?
Because he was the small town, and I wanted the big town. I knew it. And that's bullshit. I don't buy
Yeah, but first of all...
I was not stupid enough to know to get married at 20 years
okay,
old or 19
years old. First of all, they have not gotten married as of yet.
Well, they're getting married.
Second of all...
Twins!
Second of all... Second of all, you haven't seen the storyline and how it's played out. All
right, fine.
Trust me that it's been very emotional, very deep. It wasn't like Rachel said immediately, yes.
I got 8 minutes.
They've been fighting back and forth.
Look how much shit we got to talk about.
Their parents. I know. Listen to me.
Look at the book.
It's been very good. The other thing is, yesterday, for those of you who have not watched, this is a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
The winter finale had the episode beginning with an incredible moment.
Look at them, we're twins.
I know, this infested in the Bronx with twins.
Twins.
Remember the bully that was bullying Kurt that wound up being gay?
Yes, that was in love with him.
He tried to kill himself yesterday.
Oh, that's a tough one.
And it was a great storyline until we found out that he actually survived. I actually thought he should have died. I was actually a little bit disappointed, but now when I saw the ending, I realized why.
I bet you all the monarchs were like, you don't have to feel bad about yourself. You should accept yourself. We love you for who you are. So should you.
There was a little bit of that. There was a little bit of debate. The story.
It's okay to be gay.
The episode itself.
It's okay to be gay.
The episode itself wasn't bad.
It's
look,
okay to be gay.
You're so stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
The episode itself wasn't bad. What was bad was that. I shouldn't say it because, look, if really, this is really a big spoiler for those of you who haven't seen Glee. At the end of the episode, on her way to Rachel and Finn's wedding, Quinn was texting Rachel because Rachel kept texting her, and she got hit straight on by a truck.
Good! I hope it severed her vocal cords.
I don't know. I have very mixed feelings. I like Quinn. I was not... The fact that Quinn might be dead, I'm not amused about.
Can I tell you, if the gay guy didn't die, Lea Michele did not die. Oh, but you know what? Her
contracts are up. Not Lea Michele, Diana Agron, the blonde.
Oh, all their contracts are up, aren't they?
I don't know. But if they
could... Didn't we say that they were all being written out?
No, now they're claiming... Now they're all coming back. I don't know.
I gotta plug in. Shoot. I gotta hurry up.
This show is... It's very uneven. The Spanish episode was horrendous. Not the script. The musical selections. You have an episode about Latin music and this and that.
We're gonna lose the whole podcast.
Oh.
Don't hurry up.
Plug it, girl.
Keep talking, but I really got like 2 minutes.
5 minutes.
You said 4 o'clock.
Precious gotta go home. So anyway, they pick an episode where all it is about Zantana talking about Latin music and, you know, not doing stereotypes. And the song selection was hideous. It was all stereotypes. They had Ricky Martin sing some song that I don't know if that's Ricky's song or Pitbull's song, but it wasn't Latin song. And then you have them singing, picking a Latin song, and what choice did they have, Ricky and Naya?
Jordan Hudson.
They sang Madonna's La Isla Bonita. Madonna's not even Latin.
Fine.
Why couldn't you sing Mi Tierra by Gloria Estefan?
Fine. You love Glee. Meh.
All right.
Downton Abbey, we love it.
We love it. Fabulous.
Fabulous.
You
great.
Need to watch The Voice. The voice is brilliant. The voice is the best vocal talent competition. Better than Idol, better than X Factor.
Oh, you know what we didn't say?
What?
Rumor has it. Torsten McKay is going to be on Smash. He's going to
play. No, not rumor. It's fact.
Oh, fact.
Playing opposite Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston.
He likes those older women.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, that's
he's
going to
live out his fantasy
that's
with Myrtle.
That's casting, and I'm sorry. I know you don't agree. He is so beautiful and so talented. I'm so excited for him. So happy for him.
He has some talent. I don't know about beautiful, but he has some talent.
Stop it. He's gorgeous. All right.
Watch The Voice.
I'm not watching because I watched The X Factor and it was exhausting.
Melissa hates The Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah, I love it, but she hates it.
Melissa, are you watching The Bachelorette? I know you are. Casey B, the Southern girl that was everybody's favorite. I have a theory on it. You know my theory? He sent her home before the top three. She was the top four, and he sent her home. She was like Bible Belt girl. The top three, you get to F. They give you a key to the hotel room, and they say, go ahead, F if you want. And so I think that he wanted to spare her that. I think he actually really did like her, but I think he still has his eye on Courtney and thought, you know, she's not going to make it to the top, so I'm not going to F this girl and then leave her heartbroken and have her, you know, Tennessee Christian Reverend Daddy come after my ass. That's my theory.
I don't watch the show.
It was a mercy non-rose.
I see commercials and I see it on The Soup, and all I got to say is that's one ugly-looking bachelor.
He's horrible looking.
They really have scraped the bottom now.
He's like a girl. He acts like a girl. Looks like, I want a man for a bachelor.
I don't know, but some of those women look like they just escaped out of...
I think they should bring back Ames for The Bachelor. What do you think, Melissa?
I don't know. All I know is that some of those women...
Nails.com.
Some of those women look like they just got out of Oak Haven, so I don't know about that.
All right, we're both watching Revenge.
Oh, Revenge. You thought it was predictable. I did not. I thought the twist...
Hold on.
Oh, and look, they just stole it.
I'm trying to get a spot.
Oh, gal. You got to be quick.
You know, maybe they'll let me go. Maybe I can move up, though. All right, keep going, keep going.
So, I loved Revenge. I loved everything about the latest twist. I think that it was a great twist to keep the storyline moving forward, because now we're going to really see where this girl's affections lie, because she came back to get revenge, but she wanted revenge on Daniel's parents, not Daniel. So now is she going to be behind Daniel? Because Daniel obviously
is... don't know if Daniel knows about who she really is.
I don't think he had time to tell Daniel everything. I don't.
He was saying it as he was holding the gun to her, to him.
He was saying things, but I don't think he got into specifics. And then after, but I have to say the most classic moment was when Madeline Stowe was running through the beach with that red dress, screaming out, "Daniel, Daniel!" How fierce was she lifting that gown up and running across?
Right.
She is a diva. She's such a soap diva. I live for it.
No, girl, it was. I just.
I think
it was.
I think. I know, but it was just beautifully done. I'm saying.
I
thought the cinematography.
She was a diva. I thought she looked.
No,
exactly
I didn't, honey. You're not.
Erica
I'm not saying.
Erica Kane would have run like a diva.
I'm not saying diva in a bad term. I'm saying diva in a good term.
But you.
Huh?
Erica Kane / Susan Lucci would have been pretty, and like she ran like a mother who was desperate.
I'm also loving William Devane in the show.
Who's that guy again?
The father, the grandfather.
Oh, he's funny. He's funny. I'm not.
Keep him on.
The only thing I sometimes wish it was a little less glossy. Like the sister Charlotte, like when she's having this like drunken drug, whatever, sleeping pill, OxyContin addiction, or whatever. I wish she'd take off the makeup. Yeah. She's too perfect looking.
Well, she just started being drug addict now.
I know, but she woke up with beautiful makeup and eyeshadow, and that's very soapy.
These boys are cute.
I'm enjoying Revenge. We'll see where it goes.
I'm loving
Revenge. What's the actress that plays Emily?
Emily Van Camp.
I don't always love Emily.
Really?
Van Camp.
I think
she's right for the role.
This is my favorite.
Behind the eyes for
this is my favorite work by her.
I
didn't hate her on Brothers and Sisters, but I didn't love her. I actually love her on this.
All right.
I'm impressed.
I just finished Breaking Bad, by the way, season 4.
I gotta catch up. I'm still behind.
Kindle Fire.
I'm still behind. I gotta catch up, major.
Somehow we got ourselves a Kindle Fire. I swear to God.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like the imitation copy iPad. It's not even close to as good. Carlos takes the iPad.
I don't know what
the
difference between an iPad is, a Kindle Fire, Kindle Wood,
firewood. Honestly, desperately have to leave. So
okay,
we wanted to just mention Whitney's passing.
Yeah,
we're very sad.
We have a lot of different feelings about that, but we gotta go. And regardless about what condition she was in the last few years. The music that she made and the impact that she had on people's lives, that can't be taken away just because of, her situation.
You reminded me of that. Because when I called you, you were like a mess. And I was like, what's wrong, Jordan? You okay? And I knew you were sick.
Right.
But you mentioned Whitney passing, and I was like, I didn't think much of it. I mean, she's just, But then I watched a 2020 special on all her music. Jordan and I grew up with her. This is the bottom line. We grew up with her. I mean, I wasn't even a kid. I was almost a teenager when her music... I think I was a teenager when her music came out.
Right.
We're old people.
I mean, the thing is that, like it wasn't...
Again, it's in
like,
our long lives, we can think
of
a song that
that's the thing.
That
you people... Like, I wasn't going to say, like, I was torn up the minute I heard it. It was shocking. But it wasn't until I got on YouTube that same night and
videos.
I started seeing the videos and I started remembering how some of those songs meant something to me. Like, for instance, I just started hanging out at the Monster with Vanessa and we would go see Larissa DeMont when she came out with like Heartbreak Hotel and It's Not Right But That's Okay. And so hearing those songs bring back all those good memories and stuff, and that's the thing. It's just like, yeah, she hasn't been around. Like one of my clients said it best. He said she died a while ago. So but for him too, it's like the music brings back that time period for us.
Yeah.
So it is a loss. It is a loss also because she was so young.
She was 48,
and my heart goes out to her daughter and her mother.
She's a hot mess, man.
And I can't even imagine what they're going through. But regardless about the fact that let's face facts. Obviously, she was a drug addict the last few years of her life. She's still a human being, people. She was fighting demons, just like Amy Winehouse was fighting demons. And
she was always a little eccentric.
It's sad.
It's kind of funny. Like, when you look back at her interviews, like, she was always a kind of eccentric, kind of a diva. I remember her. This is how old I am. I used to read 17 Magazine. And I used to love this woman, Whitney, this model. She was like this one of their staple of models. Like, I don't know what 17 is now, but back then you had like a handful of models that you used for every issue. Like four or five people, and they all went by their first names. There was like Tracy. There's Tracy and Tara. They were the twins. There was Whitney. And I remember they used to caption, have these captions on Whitney that said, Whitney likes to sing. Whitney is dreams of being a singer. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever, model singing, whatever. And then, like literally like a year or two later, The Greatest Love of All came out, and the album came out. And it just is amazing to me, like, just to think. I mean, she was always the whole package. She was always beautiful. And there's nothing that can compare. I can't think of any voice to compare to that voice.
I'll tell you.
When you hear the Star Spangled Banner, even though it was dubbed, even though she recorded it earlier, the Star Spangled Banner, if that version doesn't give you goosebumps or bring a tear to your eye, you're not human.
If Michael Jackson is the king of pop, then she is definitely the queen of pop.
You think of another which is voice, what they call really? Maybe Aretha, but Aretha didn't have, she was more,
Aretha's more the queen of soul.
Right.
That's what they call the queen of soul. I mean, Whitney is the queen of pop. And I mean, if you're talking about like legacy, no, none of these girls can compare. Not Rihanna. Definitely not Rihanna. Not after singing live on the Grammys.
No. She's produced. She has
Beyonce. I'll tell you who could be the heir to the mantle, as they like to say, Miss Jennifer Hudson. But Miss Jennifer Hudson, you need to get yourself with a real good producer and some good writers, because girl, you got the voice. You just don't got the right songs yet. See, that's the
she's
thing, Rihanna.
Well.
That's the thing that Rihanna and Beyonce have over her. They got the right songs. They got the right writing and producing.
Well, Jennifer Hudson ain't doing too shabby.
No, I'm not saying she's doing shabby, girl, but with her voice, she is the heir. Did you see her performance at the Grammys?
I actually didn't. I heard it, and I thought it was...
Some people were like, it wasn't... She wasn't supposed to be being all diva-ish. This was in memoriam and a tribute to Whitney.
Her interpretation of it gave me goosebumps.
It just... And that's when I said, this is the heir. No, this is the heir. But you should... I will say this before we go. Do go to... You're not going to do it because you never do it.
What?
Go to YouTube.
I got two babies.
Mercedes from Glee, Amber Riley.
Yes.
The Tuesday after, the episode after Whitney died,
yes,
is the episode that she sang, I Will Always Love You. Oh, and I got to tell you guys.
I do love the actress. I love her.
She freaked that song out.
I'm not saying she's a terrible... I never said she was terrible. I like her a lot.
It was even more powerful within the storyline, why she was singing it and who she was singing it to, and what, but like she turned that song out. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad. And I hope that, you know, in some ways that Whitney, in now that she's gone, will find the peace that she never had here on this earth.
I hope so too. I really do.
So, you know, I don't know what else to say. You gotta go.
I know what to say.
What?
Get the F out of my car. I gotta go.
All right. Say goodbye.
I love you, people. Thank you for listening. If you want to write us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com.
You can always hit me up on Facebook.
You can always hit Jordan Hudson up on Facebook because he loves Facebook. I'm on Facebook too, but I don't do shit with it.
She don't do shit with it.
I do a little blogging.
Thank you to Shadow for keeping the blog up alive.
PineValleyPodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you so much to Shadow. He's keeping our blog alive. He's doing some excellent reporting for the Pine Valley Podcast. I love him. He cracks me up every time I read his blog postings.
And for those of you who love soaps, Daytime Confidential.
We love soaps.net. That's right.
Those are your two sources for soaps.
That's it. I mean, our soaps are dying. We'll keep posting links. Our listeners, you guys are doing such a great job of posting links to stories and reporting and stuff like that. So please keep that up, because that's just good for all of us to be informed about our shows. Anything else, Jordan Hudson?
I'll start talking about General Hospital once Ron starts. So we'll be recapping what's going on there.
Definitely people try to keep our focus at the beginning of the show on soaps, because that's what we love. That's what we know. And they're still around as far as, you know. Right now, they're still around, so we're going to keep talking about them. Don't cry again. Don't cry. He's going to cry again. Please don't cry.
Okay.
Thank you for your time today, Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you for making the time. It was great seeing you. It's been a long time.
Absolutely. All right. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you. Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes
times you cry. Life never tells us the wind's always.